from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, 1 hour left here on a gorgeous July 4th. 80 degrees in the city, but a cool 71 here in the studio. I've been getting some Jason Dumas with you. 1 more hour left. 888-957-9570 is the number. Been talking about a lot of big names. And in fact, this is going to be a stretch, but stick with me. I feel like everybody's in on Lori Markin name. Like, everybody wants the name that is Lori Markin in. Just because I think the fit is obvious. There's not another big name out there. And it feels like, Jason, the Warriors have been pretty much big fish hunting the entire summer. They just haven't been able to, get one on the line.
Yeah, I mean, as we've stated several times over the past 3 hours, it's not an easy task that Mike Dunleavy has set out to take. I mean, first and foremost, he had to navigate the Klay Thompson situation, and that was never going to be easy. Such a nuanced situation, so much emotion involved. That was never going to be easy. I do think, I think he botched the Chris Paul situation, but they were able to fill that salary with some guys. But then he's added some nice guys around the margins. Very good bargain shopping,
yes,
so to speak. D'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, great bargains. His last task is to just find somebody who could move the needle just enough.
Yeah, it feels like he's checked. I mean, granted, he's about 365 days, a little bit north of into the job, but... And he's had a really hard job to do, but he's been able to, so far, hit on his draft picks. He's been able to, like you said, pick up some nice pieces from, you know, the dress for less. And really the last thing that he has to show he can do is to make a big move, to get the big fish. I'm just afraid that there isn't one out there. Because, again, this is, I do believe it's Operation Get Steph a Ring, and I see the text line coming down my road, you know, from the 408. But I don't know if Lori Markkanen, to me, is a guy that is getting Steph a ring. Like, I don't think there's a player out there that automatically gets Steph Curry into a place where I can see him moving the Warriors to a championship.
I'll ask you two questions to counterpoint that. Did you see Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole getting Steph another ring?
No.
Did you see, they didn't get a ring, but did you see this Dallas team getting to the NBA Finals?
Once the playoffs started, yes, actually.
Okay.
Yes. But it was because of the path.
Right.
I don't think that, and they didn't have to play two. I thought the two best teams were Denver and Minnesota.
They only had to play one of them.
They only had to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I thought they caught OKC at a good time.
And even Denver, and even Minnesota, what was their series right before OKC?
Dallas? They went seven games.
With Denver.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, that almost felt like.
That was their championship.
That almost felt like a Western Conference Finals. Like, you get through a seven-game bloodbath. Meanwhile, Dallas played OKC, a bunch of babies, had never experienced that in their lives.
They beat two young teams to get, well, younger teams.
Yeah. So, you know, would you consider Clippers a young team, though?
No, I mean Minnesota. Just
because
their best player is 21.
Yep. Like I said, you give credit where credit is due. I like Jason Kidd, Bay Area guy. Every time he's given me great access for a couple of interviews for Kron. But I don't think the Mavericks will be back in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they're a finals team. I think they got a nice pathway. They caught the Timberwolves after the Timberwolves just had a bloodbath series with the defending champs. They got OKC, who was probably never going to win the championship that year anyway. I mean, they're just a young team. None of them have ever done it before. OKC is battle-tested now. They've kind of gotten a taste of that. So
it's also why I thought that Boston would just shellack them.
Oh, yeah. I won so much money on that Boston series.
Yeah,
So many people were picking the Mavs. I was like, there's no way they beat the Celtics.
I think it was just more about people not believing in Boston than actually believing in Dallas.
Right. Oh, man. I bet at least three or four people. I got like $375 off the Celtics. Yeah. It's like, there's no way. There is no
money
way.
Money time.
No way.
Money time!
Show me the money.
But I think that's... So the question about Wiggins, I think, is good. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, I think they're trying to identify another player that could become Andrew Wiggins that needs, like, you know, a reclamation project, essentially, that could use a change of scenery. Lauri Markkanen, well, the other part of it, too, and I don't know how much you take into account of this, but I've also never seen him in the postseason. I don't know how he'd play in the playoffs, especially as a number two that is going to be guarded.
I don't worry so much about that because he has veteran leadership around him. It's not like OKC this year where it's like they're all young. Jalen Williams, Lou Dort, who's not especially young per se, but he's not battle-tested. Shea, Giddey, none of them are battle-tested, really. So, like, but at least with the Warriors, say they get Markkanen and they get into the postseason – Markkanen is going to be in a bubble with Steph, with Draymond, with Kevon Looney, presumably with Andrew Wiggins, because I don't think Wiggins would be involved in that trade if he stays around. Shoot, even Kuminga and Moody. Oh, well, Kuminga will be gone, but maybe Kuminga or Moody, one of those two, maybe. Pajemski, obviously, he hasn't been through. But point, Steph and Draymond, they would protect him in terms of, like, getting him prepared, making sure he has the right mental... this, that, and the third, and with Steve Kerr. So I wouldn't really be concerned of no playoff experience. It's just look, it's a risk. I am not ignoring that, but what else is out there? I mean, there might be some other things out there no one's talking about. Like, that's just bringing up random names. Sengun in Houston. Well, maybe he's being floated around. Who knows? Because I'm pretty sure
the Rockets don't want to pay him.
Didn't they just not pick up his option or something?
They said that they wouldn't max him out.
Right.
That they would not give him the rookie max because they also, I think, they have to make the choice on Jalen Green as well. And to be fair, when Sengun went down, they actually started winning a lot of games. You bring up the point about risk, though. And I guess that's, it's not that I'm anti Lauri Markkanen. Like, if they could find a way to get him here, I think he'd be a great fit. I think he'd help the team. I just feel like a lot of people are talking about him as if he's a risk-free investment. And I completely disagree. because if you swing and miss on a player that I don't think moves your ceiling into championship contention, then you do set yourself back. And it's not just about the future beyond Steph. Like, if Lauri Markkanen does not work out next season, it's not like he's all of a sudden just going to work out the year after that or the year after that. And you also then have nowhere to pivot. So if you swing and miss on next season with Lauri Markkanen, you're not just destroying potentially your future after Steph. You're destroying your future with Steph. So that's how I look at it also, is trying. I am trying to get Curry the best chance at a fifth ring. But my issue is that if Lauri Markkanen can't do it, and I am inclined right now to believe that he can't, then why should I believe that the last two or three years of Curry's career that he would be able to do it? The Warriors would have nowhere to pivot beyond that point. Like, he would be it.
Yeah, you'd be screwed, but at least you tried. Like,
I mean,
if you do it as, if you stay as is, I mean, cool, you're safe, but we know what, we good chance we know the outcome.
No, but I do think that they have flexibility if they...
Like, that's true, because you never know what could pop up in a year from now.
I mean, Kuminga can make a step, could take a step forward. That he also might be more of a trade asset in a year. You know, I think that Curry could also look at this and say, like, dude, I dragged that team to 46 games last year, a team that Klay Thompson was pouting all the time and going back and forth. Wiggins was, when he was here, he wasn't even here. Draymond was getting suspended. You know, I can play with some of these guys. Like, I can help some of these dudes as long as they're around. And sure, he's not looking at this team saying, like, yeah, we're going to just run through the West. But if you're talking about winning a title or even getting to the Western Conference Finals, you're talking about being one of the best two or three teams in the West. Does Lauri Markkanen make you better than Denver, Minnesota, or OKC? Because I think those are the three teams that you're really looking at. In my opinion, he does not. And that's why he's not worth it for me, bottom line.
See, I think you'd be right there. I'm not going to say definitively that they would be better than those teams. I do think Denver, of course, they're battle-tested and they have, like, the best player in the NBA, so you can't count them out, but they've had a bad offseason, in my opinion.
They got worse, yeah.
They've gotten worse.
Lost KCP.
Yeah, he was a really good piece for them. They lost KCP, and...
they're kind of dependent on their younger guys, mm-hmm. too, at this point.
So, Denver got worse. Minnesota's going to be equally as good or maybe even better. OKC seems like they're going to be better, although, I mean, from a win-loss standpoint, they'll probably be the same, but, like, they'll be better and more prepped for
if they face
run.
Dallas again in the postseason, I would take OKC.
100%. 100%. Probably win around the same amount of games. But, I you know, after that is a crapshoot. It really is. Now, the Clippers aren't going to be good, so you can take them out the mix.
I agree.
How do you feel about Phoenix? I mean, Kevin Durant is good. Don't get me wrong. Really good. He showed a bit of his age towards the latter part of last season. He really did. Bradley Beal, in my opinion, based off what he has made in the NBA.
He's their Andrew Wiggins.
I think Bradley Beal is a candidate for one of, I'll just say overpaid. I won't say overrated because overrated seems so insulting. But,
well, I'll just go ahead and say he's one of the three worst contracts that I can think of right now.
Yeah,
the other two are LaVine and Wiggins.
Based on his career, I do think Bradley Beal is a candidate for one of the most overpaid players in NBA history. He is always in that max slot, and I don't even know if he can be your third best player. Definitely not going to be your second best player on a good team. Him and John Wall were good for his SportsCenter highlights. They weren't good for anything beyond that. John Wall left, and he played for a lottery team. He just scored a lot on a lottery team after John Wall left. Then he goes to Phoenix, and Phoenix got worse with them. Phoenix was better when it was Ayton and Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? So
I mean, they're also
no. Kevin Durant didn't play with Ayton.
I was going to say they're better when they had Booker.
That's what I meant.
Booker, Bridges, Cam Johnson, Ayton, and Paul.
Yeah. So then he goes to Phoenix, and they're worse. And he's a max player. He shouldn't be. You know, like I would never pay him max dollars if I was a general manager. He's never showed that. So he's essentially been a max player for like the last 7 years. He is paid. He's highly paid. Good for him. Good for his agent. But he's probably the most overpaid player, one of the most overpaid players, in my opinion, in NBA history. And so my point is, I don't think Phoenix or L.A. will be as good. I don't. So I know L.A. won't, the Clippers. Lakers, I think Lakers will be around the same, although their offseason has been weird. Their offseason has been hiring J.J. Redick, a guy who has no coaching experience, giving Bronny James a 4-year guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
They just now started filling out their coaching staff. Have they signed anyone? Has there been any names?
No, I was going to say that
they might get DeMar DeRozan.
The Warriors have swung and missed on players.
Yeah.
The Lakers have literally not been able to get anybody.
Right.
I mean,
well, LeBron was holding off on signing that max to see, hey, we can get, like, if you guys can get me some help, I won't take the max. He eventually did, which kind of told me, like...
Yeah, I think it's a bit disingenuous, but...
Do you really? See, I think... I have no reason to believe why he would lie. Like, I mean, he can... Like, we know LeBron James. Like, he can get the max if he wants to. I don't think it's, like, far-fetched for him to take a little less if it meant him winning.
No, but the amount less that he'd have to take for them to gain access to the mid-level was like $20 million.
Got it.
And I guess I just don't see somebody that could get 50 taking 30.
Also, to be honest, that's frowned upon by the NBPA. They hate that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because it's like it sets a precedent. Like, players are supposed to get all the money they possibly can. Like, that's how they...
Oh, you're saying that the Players Association. Yeah,
wouldn't like that. The Players Association... would be like, get it, you want to win, but LeBron, come on, man. $20 million pay cut. That does not set a good precedent for us who are trying to make as much and maximize our earning potential.
Yes.
So from the NBPA, they wouldn't love that. Like, there's a reason, like, if that were the case, every now and then you would probably see it more. It's just very frowned upon. It's not talked about as much, like, out in the open, but they don't want players doing that.
Well, no, it's interesting because technically, like, they were in the running for Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson chose to go elsewhere. We just found out a couple hours ago after Buddy Hield officially signed with the Warriors that he was also choosing between, I forget who the third team
Lakers
was, but
the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers and the Pistons. And I think there's a huge gap between the Lakers and the Pistons, but he chose the Warriors. There was, I think another player... And this one, I can't figure out. Maybe you can help me. Jonas Valanciunas chose the Washington Wizards. 3 years, $30 million. That's less money annually than Klay Thompson, and the Lakers were allegedly in on him. I also think that was somebody LeBron might have liked. So they have not been able to get anybody. They've also, I think, this is not a player, but Dwayne Casey didn't want to be a part of their coaching staff.
I saw that.
So they haven't been able to get anybody. Dan Hurley played them for a fiddle to get more money from UConn. Mm-hmm. They literally have had the worst offseason of any team in the NBA. So I don't know. If you're a Warriors fan, you can at least feel like you're winning that way.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm not sure the Lakers are going to be about the same, I think. Maybe a little worse. Who knows?
I agree.
And
yeah.
Then, so
both LA teams.
Yeah, so both one LA team, I think, is going to be way worse. I think Phoenix is going to be, won't be as competitive, and I don't think the Lakers will be as competitive. So I do think the Warriors have a chance to move up the standings. Pelicans might be a little better with DeJounte Murray. You got to imagine Memphis will be better with John Morant coming back. John Morant's a really good player.
Houston could take a step, but I don't see him jumping the Warriors.
So, conceivably, with a guy of Markkanen's talent level, I do think the Warriors could get into that top four. I really do.
With Lauri Markkanen. Yeah. I mean, perhaps, I think there's also a chance that as currently constructed, they could take a step forward. Or 46 wins might also not be the 10th best team in the West next year. We'll see. Obviously, we got to let it play out. But the one thing I think I am in agreement with you on, Jay, is they're not done. I don't know if the move is going to be for Lauri Markkanen, for Brandon Ingram, for Sengun. It also could be just for another smaller trim the hedges type of player. But I'm curious what the people think at 888-957-9570. Jason Dumas and Evan Giddings with you now and for another 35 minutes up until 4 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Let's go down to Texas, where everything is bigger and also cheaper. What's up, Joe? Happy July 4th.
Oh, happy July 4th. Coming into the offseason, I thought there was three big names for the Warriors to really go after. It was Towns, it was Markkanen, and KD. I do think KD can be moved. They're in disarray, new ownership. I think if we're going to throw up our young talent and picks and go after somebody, you know, that's going to change our team, really make it a championship contender, it would have to be KD. He's still the preeminent scorer in the league, in my opinion, at least. And Markkanen, you know, he won't get through one training session with Draymond before he's getting hurt. Let's be honest. You know, he's been on the injury report his whole career. He's either going to be the best signing in history for the Warriors or the worst. I'd rather go with the proven, genuine article. In an era with LeBron and Steph Curry, the best scorer in that era, KD. And he's been traded. You know, he's hated, whatever. I don't care. He'll win championships here. Bring him back.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Well, first of all, I think Lauri is capped at being the second best free agent signing ever in Golden State history. I don't think he'll ever top Kevin Durant. But I don't think Kevin Durant wants to come back here. I have no indication that he would want to come back to the Bay Area. He left for a reason. I think, obviously, the relationship between him and Draymond Green got a little messy.
No.
I don't think he felt appreciated by the entire fan base. And I also don't think he would ever acknowledge it publicly, but I also think he felt the blowback from the NBA community at large of him coming to San Francisco in the first place. I know Golden State Warriors fans do not like to hear that, but as we said towards the top of the show, Ev, it was not, a lot of people did not respect his decision to come here. Yeah, he came, won championships, kumbaya, everybody's smiling, but he knows deep down a lot of people looked at him a little sideways, like, bro, they just beat y'all. They just beat you guys. You just, from a 3-1 lead and you go run to that team, come on, man. Like, a lot of people looked at it like that. And he will never admit it. I think he's a prideful guy and he overcompensates on social media and he's made a joke of it. Now he's like kind of trolls people on social media. But I think deep down it bugs him. Like, I mean, there was the story that he called his agent, Rich Klein, crying. Why would you let me do this? After he saw the initial blowback of the decision. Y'all laugh because y'all don't see it from this lens. I'm just talking about,
yeah.
I'm talking from a guy, an objective guy too, who just, I have no reason to dislike Kevin Durant a lot of objective people is like, it could have been any person. This is not just because it's Kevin Durant. The team you were just beating 3-1. You blew the lead. They come back. They beat you. They go to the finals. This is like your peer. Like the only two teams Kevin Durant probably would have been frowned upon going was here or Cleveland. And he came here. So my overreaching point, it's not like a point that I'm trying to make. I don't care that much. I'm just saying, in my opinion, I think Kevin Durant felt that a lot more than he'll ever publicly acknowledge. And I do think that's part of the reason why he left, too. He wanted to win somewhere else so he could shut all those people up. And he hasn't. I don't think he would come back.
No, I think that's a great point. And to Joe's kind of ask, I do think if Kevin Durant was attainable, we would hear the Warriors trying to get him.
Oh, yeah.
I think we haven't heard them included in any KD rumors because they don't feel like he's gettable. Right now, Lauri Markkanen absolutely is gettable. And the Warriors also have a substantial offer on the table. That's another piece of news that leaked out yesterday around the Bay Area. But one more segment left, and I do want to use Kevin Durant because July 4th, in many ways, is KD Day for a lot of Warriors fans. It's the day that he changed the landscape of the NBA. I think it's a reason why the new CBA has been instituted. It is the day that the dynasty was elevated into a historic stratosphere, a dynasty that was doubted, defended, and now is it done? A lot of people don't think it is. Some people do. How can they extend the runway? That's what we're trying to figure out here. One more segment left in 95.7 The Game to do so. All these questions also will be posed during the Warriors offseason summit coming up on Monday, July 8th on the rooftop terrace of Fremont Bank state-of-the-art new headquarters. It starts at 2 o'clock p.m. with Wilder and Dibs live, and then the rest of the crew joins them from 4 to 6. So go to 957thegame.com to reserve your spot today. Evan Giddings and Jason Dumas back after this.
Back to 95.7 The Game.
And Jay, I think that kind of the last question I want to broach before we hit the end of the show, and of course, same time, same place, 12 to 4, but like, do you feel like Mike Dunleavy is catching hell or catching a break? Like, because it's his first offseason, he had been satisfied with the small moves, like the appetizers, but they're waiting for the entree, or like the big main course to kind of come through.
I think he was Monday, and probably rightfully so, he was catching hell. But I think people slowly between now and Monday have come around, because on Monday, it just appeared that he had lost Klay Thompson for nothing and Chris Paul for nothing. And Warriors fans had no idea how they were going to make up those losses and spend the money within the margins. But since then, obviously, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, D'Anthony Melton, three quality players within the margins. So I think people have slowly started to come around. I think people have to realize that Mike Dunleavy did not inherit an ideal situation. Granted, most GMs don't inherit a great situation because typically a job opening is not available as a GM if it's a great situation. But nonetheless, like you said, and I thought it was a perfect example, Ev, Mike Dunleavy inherited a Lamborghini with 200,000 miles on it. And I think he's been able to navigate the ship as well as expected. And I think there's still room for improvement. I think there might be a nice trade out there that can make this team even better. But the draft has been good. He got Brandon Podziemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis, two high-level rookies. This year, he got the guy Post, Quentin Post, from Boston College. Ain't going to lie to y'all, never seen the man play a day in my life, but he's a big man who can stretch the floor, legit 7 foot, and he looks like he can play make a little bit. From the center position, obviously, he can pass the ball. So I think that's going to be a good pick. I really do. I think he will get opportunities to play in Golden State. He will probably spend some time in Santa Cruz, which is great for me because I cover the Santa Cruz Warriors as their sideline reporter. So I am very excited to get to know Quentin Post. But hopefully for his sake, he doesn't spend much time there. It's so funny. I used to tell Brandon Podziemski all last year, I'm like, damn, bro, as soon as I got the job with Santa Cruz, you started balling out and you didn't play another game down there. In fact, the game where Brandon Podziemski broke his nose, or I don't know if he actually broke his nose, but he got whacked in the face pretty hard. I started in Santa Cruz the very next game, so I didn't get to catch Brandon Podziemski at all in Santa Cruz, but I told Lester Quinones the same thing. I saw Lester for about half the season, and then he got that contract with Golden State and wasn't back in Santa Cruz at all after that. But I think Mike Dunleavy has done a good enough job so far. I like the fact that he wasn't as emotionally invested to the legacy guys. Well, I mean, Klay Thompson really being the only one. Like, I think Mike Dunleavy was able to navigate the Klay Thompson situation better than Bob Myers would have, as surprising as that is. People might be like, Bob Myers, he's the architect, one of the architects. But Bob Myers and Klay Thompson, they're like family. You know, like, they work. Bob Myers, Klay, Steve Kerr, Steph, Draymond Green, they worked so closely with one another. Once it started getting towards the end, I think Bob, this is just my thoughts, my opinions. It's nothing I've heard, nothing anyone has told me. I think Bob was like, I am not trying to be the one making these decisions. I think that was the main motivation for him stepping down. It wasn't burnout. It wasn't, I want to do different things. We see he has the little consulting gig or whatever his actual job title is with the
Washington.
With the Commanders. We see that. But I think the main motivation for Bob Myers leaving was he saw the writing on the walls. He knew it was going to have to be him making that decision with Klay Thompson, who he also considers a good friend. I don't think Mike Dunleavy, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think Mike Dunleavy is that close to Klay, where it's going to break him if they have a irreversible relationship now that can't be repaired. I think that would kill Bob Myers.
It would. The case. I think it's a big reason why Bob Myers also may have dipped right before they had to re-sign or not re-sign Draymond Green.
Yeah, he knew.
I don't even wanted to make the choice.
Exactly.
Because
you know,
that was his first draft class, Draymond Green. I don't think he drafted Klay, but I mean, either way, they're still extremely close. The interesting thing about Dunleavy too is he comes from a basketball family, so he's much more
of the mind cutthroat.
Like, it's a business. Played for a ton of teams. He's been a top pick. He's played for Duke. He's won a national championship in college. His dad was a head coach. He's probably been fired umpteen times. Like, it's just how it works.
Dad was a coach and in management. You know,
yep.
Exactly. He knows the business of the NBA. He's not as emotionally invested. He's probably jaded and a little, for a lack of better term, he's a little dead inside from all the, all the transactions, all the time people say, you're not good enough. You're a bust. We got to release you. We got to trade you. Here, do this, do that. He can handle all that. Look, I can appreciate what Klay did. I like Klay. And in the right situation, we are opening to having him back, blah, blah, blah. But he's got to go. Like, he can make those decisions way easier than Bob Myers. And I think Bob Myers knew that. That's what I think is the main motivation. And I completely get it. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either, because Bob probably was conflicted. Bob probably knew some of these decisions, the Golden State Warriors are better off for it, but it would impact my relationship with these guys.
It's also something that you just don't want to do. Like, I think,
right.
I think Bob is, and it's one of the reasons why he's so special. Like, I think in one breath, Myers could have been able to broker a deal between Klay and Lacob. I think that's also a reason why there was somewhat of a mutual parting, because they knew eventually they were going to have to get to this point. Like, Myers, his superpower is relationships. I don't know if it was drafting or trade acquisitions. Obviously, he got Durant, but I think that fits more under the relationship category of understanding what players need and how to manage, quite frankly, egos. Like, I also think that's one of Steve Kerr's superpowers. But that superpower now at the tail end of a dynasty, or maybe if it's done after a dynasty, your services are no longer required. Like, or you're, it's no longer necessary. Like, you don't need someone to manage as many egos.
Right.
Now, Bob Myers might be helpful for managing, say, someone like Draymond Green. But if there's less of those kinds of guys in the room, well, then your services are not as necessary. I also think, too, you know, someone like Dunleavy is, he's a guy that was kind of brought up under Myers. So he understands these guys. But he indicates a different direction for the franchise. And that's why I can't be completely mad that they have sort of used this summer, and it looks like they are using this summer as an inflection point, is because this was going to happen no matter what. Like, whether they, and this was actually in the Ramona Shelburne piece from yesterday, is they wanted, members of the front office wanted to shake up the roster after they lost to the Lakers. And the only piece of the roster you really could have shaken up was Draymond Green, because nobody else was up for renegotiation.
Right.
So they chose to lean all the way back in. That got them to a non-playoff appearance. And now, and it also sounded like they were looking, I was a proponent of this, to reshape the roster at the deadline. But they kind of saved themselves by winning four or five before. Andrew Wiggins looked like he was coming around. They started to use Kuminga a little bit more. I think they could have gotten to this point a little bit quicker. But at the same time, the fact that they're starting to move in the proper direction, that is something that does excite me, because I do think they have more flexibility, maybe not as much optionality, but they have more flexibility, because the one thing that Dunleavy showed by getting off of Clay is that they are no longer beholden completely to the past. They no longer have to attach themselves and anchor themselves to this era of the big three, which no matter how successful they were, no matter how many great young players would come through, that would always hang over the Golden State Warriors. And now they can go and be something else, which may be Lauri Markkanen. It might not be. But either way, I'm just excited, because it does feel like they've kind of, I don't know, just removed this weight. And it's not a weight that's wholly on Klay Thompson, but Klay Thompson is kind of the first domino, I think, of the weight that they're trying to get rid of.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Mike Dunleavy, he's going to want to put his own imprint on this team. And he's done it to a degree, obviously, being the GM when Klay departs, that's an imprint in itself. The more that Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis grow, that'll be a reflection on Mike Dunleavy. But really, the one thing that would really make this feel like a team he architected is a big move, a big trade. And I think he's trying to do that. And, you know, the Markkanen is the obvious name out there, and maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. If I was a betting man, I would bet it does not happen. We've been hearing about it too frequently. Those type of things never go down. Now it's...
Trades don't play out in the public.
No, they do not. Not at all. So something's going to happen eventually. I would hope they don't run out this lineup. As I said, I think it's a little better than last year, but not to the point where you can really be competing for a championship. And when you have Steph Curry, you want to be competing for championships. That's not me saying you got to win one every year or it's a failure, but you got to, you got to put yourself in the conversation. You got to bring yourself to the point where you're like, they're in the mix. They might not win it, but a couple things go their way. Like, they have a chance. I don't think this roster has a chance. Not a single solitary chance.
Did you think they had a chance last year?
No, not really.
I agree. Yeah, well, that's why I'm also... I mean, it's not a significantly better roster, but at least I know that it's not the same.
Right.
I mean, I think right now they are kind of running it back in a sense. You know, I think they don't have Klay Thompson, but they replaced Klay Thompson's production. The one guy that still sort of signals to me that they're running it back is Wiggins. And I know that we can get into this tomorrow from 12 to 4 as well, but in a way, I feel like he's the next domino. You know, whether he's involved in a Markkanen deal or Ingram deal or whatever, that's a contract I feel like they're trying to move heaven and earth to get off of.
Yeah.
They weren't willing to do it at the deadline. I don't know if you heard anything, but I read that there were player-for-player deals that were out there. It wouldn't have made them better. In fact, it probably would have. They would have taken a step backwards. But at this point, it's almost like they recognized, I think, that the way to operate this offseason, if you can't swing a big trade, is to just add by subtracting, like getting rid of the players that are most toxic.
Yeah, and no, it's exactly what you said. They might have taken a step backwards in terms of talent.
Yeah.
But they probably would have still been the 10th seed in the West. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what happens. Like, when you see salary dump type trades, it's one of those things where it's like, look, you know, we get that we didn't get much back for him, but we can probably get the same number of wins without the guy, really, and save ourselves some money. It's basically a bang for your buck type of trade. And, yeah, I mean, look, we don't know everything that was going on in Andrew Wiggins' personal life the past 2 years. Obviously, 2 years or a year and a half, well, I can't equate when exactly it was, but the year he missed a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was serious enough to miss like a quarter of the season.
Yeah,
maybe
two
more.
Seasons ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, that stinks. And it might be something we don't know, but it could very well be something out of Andrew's control. So it stinks, but it's still something to consider. The last 2 years, his availability has not been great. And
I mean, last year he was available, but I do think you're right that didn't absence, seem, it like it
going through the motions.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Going through the motions.
Upstairs.
Way, 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 way too talented of a basketball player to have his production. He, and like you said, he would have like stints where he was like, all right, he's finding it. He's getting back to championship Wiggins. But if you just look at the totality of his career, Evan, just look at the totality. We don't have to do much arguing, debating, and having much opinion. Aside from the championship year, I would say the majority of Andrew's career is empty numbers, underwhelming seasons, and coaches and teammates saying, I wish he brought it more. That's kind of been the story of his career. That championship season changed everything for him and changed his perception. He's an all-star starter.
yeah.
Because the K-pop people,
I was going to say, shout out the
K-pop people helped him. But he comes to Golden State. He plays great. We get this crazy campaign to get him into the all-star game, which nationally, a lot of people aren't, you know, they don't see, oh, he's only there because of K-pop. They turn on the All-Star game and they see Andrew Wiggins.
I mean, but to be fair, like, I don't know if it was an All-Star starter season. He had a good year. I think he averaged like 16 points. He shot at his best from 3-point range.
No, I wasn't bringing up the All-Star game to say like it was a fall All-Star.
But it kind of was a flash in the pan to your point when you look at the rest of his career.
Yeah, no, it was. I would say that season was an exception, and we're all holding on to the fact like, will Wiggins get back to the 2022 Andrew Wiggins? No, actually, the question is, did Wiggins revert back to normal?
The better question is, how did we get the 2022 version of Andrew Wiggins?
100%. How did that flash in the bottle happen? I just think it was a perfect storm. Like I said, I think that he wanted a new contract. I think that it was a change of scenery. And who knows?
I also think it was the first time he felt like he belonged. Like, yeah. I mean, he got traded the moment he got into the NBA.
Yeah, it was
like
Minnesota,
he was drafted by the Cavaliers.
And it was Minnesota his entire career until Golden State, right?
But
he only played on two teams, right? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But, well, I mean, I guess he was drafted. Cleveland. Yeah, drafted the Cavaliers.
Traded for Kevin Love.
And I do think that that's something that also we're talking about the business of the NBA and just understand. Like, Wiggins comes from a basketball family, too. You know, he understands leverage. He understands the contract year importance. He understands how to get his money, and it's a job to him. And that's his prerogative. But I also felt like that season was the first time where he realized, like, okay, like, this is what basketball should feel like. Like, you can be paid highly, you can help your team, and you can win, and you can have fun doing it. And for whatever reason, I don't get the feeling that Andrew Wiggins has had fun playing basketball the last two seasons, or really since the championship. And I think before that, that was a big thing in Minnesota was, you know, he didn't even, I was living in Minnesota the year that they got Jimmy Butler. And I don't even think he had fun with Jimmy Butler, because playing basketball with Jimmy Butler ain't fun. Like, no, he's just all about winning.
I mean, there's
at all
that
costs.
There was that very public practice where Jimmy Butler and the second
all time
second
practice.
Slash third unit was absolutely destroying the starting unit, and Jimmy Butler was letting every starter hear it and said anything that crossed his mind, said some things that you probably should keep to yourself.
He's also saying it to the GM who was
there. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you can probably imagine the things he was saying.
Yeah.
To an underachieving, talented group of guys. Like at the time, it was like Cat and Wiggins were like the guys getting the brunt of it. I heard.
Yep.
That's been reported. I shouldn't say I heard. I
mean, yeah, so Jimmy didn't want to play with him.
Yeah.
He wanted to play with the third stringers.
You guys are soft.
But I think that's, and look, I'm not trying to say that the basketball, especially professional basketball, should just be all fun and games. It shouldn't just be all sunshine and rainbows. But I do think that there has to be some semblance of joy in order to reach whatever peak you're trying to reach. It's why losing at the highest level is so crushing and so debilitating. You know, it's what the Niners are probably dealing with right now. But I do think you have to find some level of happiness in your game. And I just haven't sensed that Wiggins, and it could be because of the off the court issue stuff, honestly. It could be because of things that have nothing to do with basketball. But I just haven't sensed that he's played really with joy outside of 1 year. And that's been a calling card of Golden State Warriors basketball. So I also don't think at this point, barring some crazy miracle, that he's all of a sudden going to get back to that place. And that's why I think the Warriors, similar to Klay Thompson, I think moving on from Andrew Wiggins would be a mutually beneficial thing. I don't think it would just be for the Warriors.
Well, during the last 2 years, every time the Warriors, not that I'm saying they even should have done this or should or shouldn't, whatever the case might be, every time they had the opportunity to publicly bash Andrew Wiggins, and bash is a strong word. Steve Kerr probably wouldn't do that, even if someone deserved it. But I think they were very intentional about supporting him.
Yeah,
publicly. I mean, they had every incentive to, especially if you want to trade him. But, you know, who knows? Like, what can Andrew even... One of the teams that were he was linked to was Dallas Mavericks, which is funny enough. That's not going to happen now. With they brought in Klay. But who knows? Who knows what the future holds for Andrew Wiggins? I'm on your side where I think the Warriors are probably inclined to move him before the season.
Yeah, and look, we're all trying to figure this thing out. I know that, well, I know what our future holds in store. 4 more hours tomorrow, Jay, from 12 to 4, and I look forward to it. Also, a reminder that in 48 hours, the California Classic is coming to Chase Center. And again, that's July 6th, the Summer Basketball Showcase featuring 2024 NBA draft picks, second-year pros, and more players. Go to warriors.com for your tickets, all brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. Well, yeah, I mean, these 4 hours flew on the 4th of July and potentially like some fireworks later on tonight. So thank you, Jason.
Yep. Yeah, it was a pleasure, man. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow.
Yes, sir. For everybody that called in, appreciate you. Thanks for everyone sharing their Independence Day with us, whether you kicked up with a cold one, whether it's with a brat, some sort of dog on the grill. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. We'll be back here on July 5th tomorrow, 24 hours from now. Joe Spadoni and Sam Lubman will be on from 8 to 12 right beforehand. A big thank you to Carter Chickering behind the grill.
I said what I said.
Oh, dropping in. And that's true. I'm not going to lie. That is Mike Florio. And we did say what we said all right here on your home for the Warriors. 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.